we sang a few moments ago, we sang, I had to put a box around it because it connected so well. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Keep that refrain or that verse in mind as we read Psalm number 3. And as we go through the text, just consider how David does this and consider how we must do this in life. As we encounter various trials and various storms, his grace is unchanging. So keep that in mind as we read. Hear now from Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would bless your word now. I pray that you would direct my speech. Protect us. Protect us from my errors. But empower me by your Spirit to preach. Open our hearts to your word, Lord. Speak to us now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So I gave this sermon a title, and I added to the title. So originally I had trusting the Lord's salvation in the storm. But it made more sense to ground that in something, to ground it in, because salvation is in Christ alone. Trust the Lord's salvation in the storm. So that is the anchor that holds within the veil that we sang about earlier. Salvation is in Christ alone. It's not in our circumstance. It's not in our merit. But just by the grace of the Lord, we are brought into this. Salvation belongs to the Lord. As we just read in the psalm a moment ago, it ends in this benediction. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. Salvation is just the Lord's to give, and it's the Lord's to keep. So you can be secure in your salvation because it belongs to the Lord. So that's sort of an introduction to the idea there. But I want to introduce the concept of a storm because I'm going to come back to this over and over again. So storms, what are storms? I don't know what the storms are like in this area yet. But in the South, storms are pretty bad. They obscure your vision. So maybe you're driving down the road and it's clear, it's bright, it's sunny. And then clouds push in, and everything changes. What was once bright, sunny, clear becomes dark, becomes hazy. You can't see very far in front of you anymore. Sometimes the rain comes so hard, you can't see at all. And you're working on memory, maybe just in those little glimpses between the windshield wiper as it goes. And you remember what was there, and you just press forward in faith, hoping that nothing changed between those wipes. So that's what storms do. They cloud our vision. They bring danger along with them. Danger often accompanies a storm. Driving in a storm is a good example, but the storm itself can be a danger. Also, storms bring isolation. So that concept of storm, just think about those things. Your vision's cloudy. You're in danger, and you're isolated. That's the situation for David in the text. These are stormy times for David. I don't know if you know the context of the psalm, so I'll lay this out for you. This is a psalm that is set as David is running from his son Absalom. And not only is he running from his son, there's an entire army amassed against David. And this follows a long line of things that are happening with David. This actually begins a long time before this. This begins with David's sin with Bathsheba. He commits adultery. he sends this woman's husband to the front lines to get killed. And then Nathan, the prophet, comes to him and says a word from the Lord to him. And the word was, the sword will not depart from your house. So all of this that is happening is actually the result of sin years before. And now it comes to a climax. And David is running from his life as his son tries to take his kingdom and kill him. It's very serious. It's very dire. And David has been mocked in the chapters of 2 Samuel leading up to this situation. David's been mocked in the streets openly. They say that there's no salvation for David. It says that even in the psalm here, many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. So this storm is upon David. And maybe you're in a storm now. Maybe you have the winds of this life being hurled at you. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you've gotten reports somewhere along the way that things are not well and you're overwhelmed. Maybe it's your own spirituality. Maybe your sanctification isn't where you would like it to be and you are doubting your own salvation. Maybe you have spiritual turmoil. We all encounter various storms. And so my encouragement to you this morning is this. Anchor your hope in Christ. Because salvation is in Christ alone, trust the Lord's salvation in the storm. And we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at the promises of God, the power of God, and also we're going to look at how David rejoices. And so this is actually a psalm of worship. It's a psalm about something a lot of turmoil happening here, but at the same time, it's a psalm where David is worshiping. So let's look at this first point. Remember the Lord's promises. Because salvation is in Christ alone, we can hold on to the promises of God. That's what David does goes through these verses. He's actually pointing back to covenant promises of the Lord. He uses words like shield and a lot of these battle terms, and you think, he's in battle. So he's just talking about what's relevant to that. But that's actually not the case. He is referring to things that the Lord has promised to do for his people throughout Scripture. And we'll walk through those in a moment. But first, I want to define this term, remember. So we want to remember his promises, not because we've necessarily forgotten his promises. This concept, remember, this is a biblical concept. This is to bring an idea from the past to mind. The Lord remembers often. It doesn't mean the Lord ever forgot. So we're just bringing to mind what we know to be true. That's what remember his promises means. So the setting of the psalm, the many are rising against David. There's a flood rising. Many are mocking David. They're saying there's no salvation for David. And they said the same thing of Jesus. If you remember, they said that he saved others. He can't save himself. They mocked Christ, much in the same way that David is mocked, as if they are both abandoned. And just as Christ knew the Lord's intentions, he knew his Father's intentions with everything that was going on, David, too, knew this was from the Lord. David knew that everything that, if you go through David's life, he's constantly saying that. This is from the Lord. And he's a man of faith. And that's how Scripture describes David, as a man of faith. Even as he's mocked in the streets openly, he says, this is from the Lord. His men want to take action against the mockers. And he says, no, this is from the Lord. And Christ, in the same way, the disciples want to take action at times as people are not receiving Christ, and he says, no. And we too must humbly accept things in life sometimes in faith that the Lord will see us through it and that the Lord has his purposes. So the promises that David points to, I won't make it through all of them. There's several in here, but I want us to look at a few. So the first one I want us to see is in verse 3. He says, but you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. This is a promise that was made to Abraham. I will be a shield to you. And we see that terminology come up again in Scripture in different times. But this is a covenant promise that the Lord will be a shield to his people. And David is trusting in the Lord as his shield. He's not trusting in his army, but he is trusting in the Lord as his shield. And he also says, "Rise up, O Lord," in verse 7. "Save me, O my God." Well, this phrase here, "Arise, O Lord," is the terms used as the ark was going out to war, the Ark of the Covenant. So as the Ark of the Covenant was being brought out, this phrase is really only used in that exact wording in that context. So again, David is throwing back to the covenant. He's saying, "I'm resting in the promises of the Lord. It looks terrible right now, but the Lord has made promises that he will be with us. He will be a shield." And so he's calling upon those promises. He's saying, "Rise up, O Lord. Remember your promises." And then in verse 6, he says, "I will not fear." I don't know what your translation says here. It may say many thousands, or it may say tens of thousands. The Hebrew here actually says tens of thousands. It could be translated either way and be fine, but that tens of thousands is important because that's actually a promise as well. So if you'll go back, as the people are coming up through the Exodus, the Lord promises, the Lord says, "Your hundreds will chase their tens of thousands." And he says, "I won't be afraid of tens of thousands." He's borrowing languages that are language from previous promises again. And the Lord promises to be an enemy to your enemy. So all of these things are in David's mind as he's going through the psalm. He's calling upon the promises of the Lord. He's praying to the Lord, "Deliver me. You've promised to do this. You promised you would be with me. I know you will." So salvation belongs to the Lord. And that last phrase, even in that benediction, "salvation belongs to the Lord," that's many commentaries believe that to be a battle cry. Like, "salvation belongs to the Lord," then charge in the battle. Like, that's the confidence that you see here in the Lord's promises. So that's what we see David doing. He is leaning on the promises of the Lord. He has not forgotten them. And that is really important for us to realize, that we too need to lean heavily on the promises of the Lord. And in order to do that, we need to know the promises of the Lord. We have to study Scripture. We have to be familiar with them. Even Jesus constantly quotes from Scripture. And he is encouraging everyone around him with Scripture. And that's what we must do. We must remember Scripture, know it well, because that is what we wage war by, the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. And we need to know that well, because in times of low visibility, I was talking about the windshield wiper. Remember that illustration earlier? I don't know if you've ever been driving and been where there was pooling water on the interstate, and so you had these large puddles, and then an 18-wheeler beside you just sends up a cascade of water. It's like a children's pool has been dumped on your windshield, and you can no longer see. That happened to me once, and there was an accident in the left lane. There was an 18-wheeler in the right lane, and the accident's actually a little bit angled into my lane, and this water comes over my windshield, and we're going full speed down the interstate. And all I could do was try my best to remember what the road looked like and recreate it and pray a lot. But thankfully, we just had two flat tires, and that was all, so that was pretty good. But that's what it's like. When the storm comes upon you, you can't see. That's not the time to lay the foundation. You have to have laid your foundation prior to that. If you don't have a foundation, when the storm comes, you'll be washed away like you built on sand. So we have to build our foundation when the weather is fair, when we can think clearly. But remember, when the storm comes, he is still there. What was true before the storm is still true. The sun doesn't go away in a storm. Have you ever flown when there was a storm and the skies were gray, and as soon as you get over the clouds, it's bright and beautiful? It's a miraculous thing, and it's very grounding. It's very stabilizing to realize no matter what's happening down here, things don't really change above the clouds. So because salvation is in Christ alone, you can trust. The promises of the Lord are stable. They are secure. Trust in the Lord's salvation in the storm by remembering his promises. but also rest in his power. He doesn't make empty promises that he can't fulfill. Everything he promises to do, he can do. Have you ever heard of the Fire Festival? Has anyone ever heard of this? It was maybe 2017. It was a massive failure. Basically, a concert promoter overpromised on things he could never do. He had this lavish plan to have these glamorous tents for people to stay in, all of these music artists to come in and perform on this island, and he could not get it together. And everything that he charged people money for, he was unable to fulfill. The gourmet meals were actually cheese sandwiches. The glamorous tents were actually FEMA tents, literally FEMA tents. I looked it up, and it was bad because he did not have the ability to fulfill his promises, and he's in jail now because he could not fulfill his promises. And that is so the opposite of our situation. We can rest in his power because the Lord can fulfill his promises. He is able to do everything he says he will do. So we see David rest. Look at verse 5. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. He lay down, he slept, he woke again. That's a pretty distinct pattern there. If you have something pressing on you, it can be hard to sleep. I know when I have something coming up the next day, I often struggle to get my mind to rest, to be able to just let go and go to sleep. But what David is saying here is he is boasting in confidence in the Lord. He's saying, I lay down, I slept, and you know what? I rose again. The army did not sweep in and kill me. The Lord preserved me through the night. David rests. Proverbs 3 says that the one who is walking with the Lord in righteousness and in wisdom can sleep sweetly because he is confident that the Lord will see him through the night. And that is what David does here. And if you think about it, that is what Jesus does when he's on the boat resting on the cushion and his disciples are awake and there's a storm going on and they rush in to see Jesus and they say, Don't you care about us? We're all about to die here, and you're asleep. They don't understand how Jesus can be asleep. But Jesus knows his Father's plans. He knows that the plan is not for them to die on that boat. So he rests on the cushion. He is perfectly at rest, as the disciples are restless. And often, I believe we are more like the disciples, scurrying around trying to figure out how to survive when the Lord has everything in control and we just need to trust him. The Lord has to do the power to do all that he promises. So David does not fear the many in verse 6. He doesn't have to fear them. He knows the Lord's promises and he knows the Lord can actually do this. He knows the history of Israel. He knows that the Lord has seen his people through many, many, many overwhelming odds, time and time again. And he, too, has been on the run many times in his life already. And he ran from Saul. And he's seen the Lord see him through these situations. Even before, when he was a shepherd boy, he said, the Lord has delivered these wild animals into my hand. He's had confidence in the Lord even prior to being king. And so here, we see him doing the same thing that he's done his whole life. He rests in the Lord. And that is what we must do too. We must rest. He has the power to do what he says he will do. Like a child tossed into the air by his parents can giggle, right? As if you've ever seen a child laugh as the parent tosses them in the air, because they have faith in their parent to catch them. They have faith that the strength of their parent is enough. And we have strength in our Lord. We have faith that his strength is enough. And then David further in confidence says, I will not be afraid of many thousands who have set themselves against me. And then he says, arise, my Lord. This is verse 7. Save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. David's response to the people saying that there's no salvation for him is that my Lord has this power to render you useless. You strike my enemies on the cheek. You break their teeth. This is a humbling of his enemies. This is a taking their power out from under them. It also brings to mind a picture of Genesis 3, where the heel of the Son of Man will crush the serpent's head and render him useless. And in Romans 16, how the Lord will use his church to do the same picture. He will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So we see this victory, this rendering harmless of such a great threat. And David boasts in confidence, and we can too. We can say, just as David says, where's your death? Where's your sting, death? That is our boast. David says, you crush the teeth of my enemy, and we say the same thing too. Death has lost its sting. In Romans 8:31, if our God is for us, who can be against us? That is the type of confidence that David has brought into such a dire storm. And that is what we need to have in mind at all times. And we can have it at all times. It's very important, though, that we lay that foundation whenever the storm is not upon us. If you recall, last year, we had some interesting times. We had some shutdowns, and people panicked. And we went to the store, and we bought things we didn't necessarily need. You don't think clearly in the moment. So you see other people grabbing a case of toilet paper, and you already have plenty to get you through the next several weeks. But you think, I need that too. And so you grab it, and then it's chaos. And that's the nature of a storm coming upon you. You don't think clearly. And so don't count on those moments when everything starts going crazy to be able to lay a foundation. It doesn't work that way. So we must rest in his power now. We must, when everything's good, when you don't feel that dependency, even though we're always dependent on the Lord, sometimes we feel self-sufficient. And we can wander from the Lord in those times. And that's why we must hold tight to the Lord at all times, because we don't know when a storm will come. And the last thing I want us to look at is rejoicing with his people. So this is a public psalm written for us all to have, for us to use in worship. It ends in a benediction. It starts off as a prayer. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. And as he works through it, he ends with, salvation belongs to the Lord. It begins with, they say there's no salvation for me. And he ends with, but salvation belongs to the Lord. Confidence that what they have said is not true, but instead, the Lord is reigning, the Lord is keeping his promises in his power, and I will worship him. So he responds to the mocking with worship. And that is what we need to do as well. We must rejoice with his people, even in hard times, especially in hard times. What an encouragement it is for me to see someone, as they are suffering, worship the Lord. What stronger testimony do we have than when we are in the storm and we are declaring the Lord's praise, declaring the Lord's power, his sovereignty, even in our suffering, to be able to say, he is sovereign, he is good, he holds salvation. And that is what David does. Things are as bad as they can be. His own son is trying to kill him. And he says, salvation is in the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. What a powerful testimony for us to see. So that's David's testimony. And we all have testimonies like that. We all can praise the Lord as he has been faithful, even in our hardest times. Maybe we don't see it. Maybe we don't remember his glory in those times. But he is always there, and he is always faithful. And he is always victorious. So we can boast in the Lord's salvation in the midst of the storm. Remember, the Lord is active. Even when you don't see him at work, the Lord is active. And even when you don't understand what is happening, he has purposes and he is good. And he answers prayers. David prays, he says, in verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. He's rejoicing over answered prayers. Do you ever share answered prayers with your friends, with your brothers and sisters in Christ? You should. We need to hear that. It strengthens them, and it can even come back around. So I told my grandmother a few years ago about several answered prayers and how the Lord had been faithful to encourage her. And not too long ago, she turned it around on me, and I was talking to her about something else, and she said, well, you remember how the Lord did this for you and how the Lord did that for you? And it strengthened my soul to hear that testimony reciprocate it back to me. So the Lord answers the prayers of his people. As David cries to the Lord, the next verse, I lay down and slept. So we see him cry aloud to the Lord, and then we see him in faith trust the Lord to answer the prayer. So we boast in the Lord's salvation. He does answer our prayers. He does fulfill his promises. And this psalm is praising the Lord for being faithful, praising the Lord for not abandoning him, even though he's still in the storm. This psalm is written as he is still fleeing for his life. If you turn to, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but if you were to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, there's a similar psalm that's written after the fact, and he's still praising the Lord. He's still using that terminology of shield, how you've been a shield to me, Lord. And so the things that he is boasting in the Lord about in the moment are still true after that moment. And you can believe that that as he is at the throne now, David is still praising the Lord. I don't think the song has changed. It's probably gotten a lot more clarity. But it's no less. There's no less praise coming from David now. But in the storm, you can rejoice. And we need that desperately. Your brothers and sisters need you to rejoice. You need it. And you need to hear them. It's the way our community is built. So, because salvation belongs to Christ alone, trust that the Lord's salvation is good, that the Lord's salvation is with you in the storm. Remember his promises, rest in his power to keep those promises, and rejoice with his people as you see him at work. Give testimony and prepare in fair weather. Don't panic by, but prepare now. Don't wait. Storm this word. Look for promises. Lay your foundation on Scripture. Lay your foundation on Christ. Because when the storm is here, you will not see clearly. And everyone here that's a believer has already trusted the Lord in the ultimate storm. The ultimate storm that every man faces is the wrath of an almighty God. And the same foundation we have in that storm is Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone. So that's where it starts. We start with faith in Christ. And as we struggle through life as a Christian, we continue resting in that same place, that same foundation. Salvation belongs to Christ alone. That is our only hope. And that is a beautiful thing. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We pray that you would impress them upon our hearts, that you would bring us joy and hope through these things, that you would help us to keep them on our minds, help us to recite them to ourselves so that when times of trouble come, they will be accessible, that we will quickly lay hold to these promises. Help us to love you more for giving us these promises, for giving us salvation in Christ. We thank you, Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen.